In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today as we begin a new week by the grace of God. Holy Spirit, come upon us in a mighty way. Come and breathe and give us not only inspiration, but let all those things that need to surface, surface so that we can give everything over to Jesus. Have you ever heard this little saying? It's more true than I could ever imagine. We are as sick as our secrets. We are as sick as our secrets. And that, you know, we have family secrets and we have individual secrets and you know, we just don't want to let these secrets out. And I'm going to tell you what your secrets do. It's like having a big rock, and the rock is on this big field of grass. And it's been there for 27 years, or whatever. And then you lift up the rock, and it's flooded with bugs, and they're just crawling underneath. When we do not let our secrets out at the proper time and to the proper people, I'm telling you, they do you in and they do me in. But when we expose the secrets, it's like the bugs that start running away. And the big thing is exposing the secret. And we have secrets that we have never exposed. And maybe that's the issue of your sickness, because you're as sick as your secrets. We have with us today Edie McDaniels, and she's going to talk about Silent No More. Silent No More. And some other things. Tell us about Silent No More. I like the title.
Thank you, Father. Silent No More is an organization that was formed between Anglicans for Life and Priests for Life. A woman by the name of Georgette Forney went to Father Frank Pavone from Priests for Life and said, "We need to reach the women who've been affected by abortion. We need to help them to heal, to come back to Christ, to know His love and His compassion and His mercy. And when they've healed, they need to go out and tell others what abortion did to them." Because the key for, I think, and a lot of people have begun to realize, the key for ending this is to make the reality of what abortion is and what it does to the women and the men and the families involved in abortion. What it does to them physically, psychologically, mentally, spiritually, and help them see that the problems that they've had can be related back to this. And all they need to do is heal from this. Ask Jesus to heal them, and He will. We all know that. You know that more, better than anybody, Father. But that's what Silent No More does. And we have regional coordinators all over, and their job is to go out and speak out. They hold gatherings. They tell their story, how they came to have an abortion, what the abortion did to them, whether it was physical or spiritual or mental or all of those, and how they've healed from it and what they do now to try to help others. And we also have a mission of educating, especially our young people, as to what it is abortion does to women, and to dispel the myths that they hear throughout society that this is good for women or helps women. It doesn't, and we need to get that message out to them.
Well, you see, I'm not a professional, but I know this. I know this, that the body knows when it's pregnant. And because the body knows that and the woman knows that, there is an instinct that this is a child, you know. This is all on a precognitive level.
Mm-hmm.
It's real. It's as real as real can be. And so, you know, of course, you know, we have Obama, who's pro-abortion, and not only pro-abortion, he's pro-infanticide.
Yes.
That if a child lives through an abortion, the child has no civil rights.
Exactly.
Kill him.
Yep.
Her. That's Obama. Your next president. That's right. And you see, the woman knows this. Even if she lives in denial, even if she, you know, and this is what women do, unfortunately, and I'm not blaming, I'm just saying, a woman has an abortion, I'm going to tell you what usually happens. She either will have another child to make up for that abortion, or she will have many abortions to validate what she did was right.
Exactly.
And I know those things, that, you know, that's the human nature. You know, there's nothing, I didn't read this in a psychology book. I know these, that's how we work.
Yeah.
As people. So, you just put one abortion right after the other,
mm-hmm.
and it, you know, and trying to validate it, and you have a very sick puppy in front of you.
Absolutely. I mean, you've got a woman who has an abortion, and she feels so bad and so guilty about it, and she has already condemned herself. So if she gets pregnant again, it's well, I've already done this once, so what does it make a difference? I'm already a bad person, so I can't bring a child into the world.
And God hates me anyway.
Yes.
You know, God hates me. It's, you know, how could God ever receive me because I've killed my child, you know. And,
exactly.
And I just want to tell you, God doesn't have the inclination to hate. God's inclination is always to draw people to forgive, to forgiveness and to mercy and to repentance. God does not have the inclination to hate anybody. He's not into it. And the first day he's into it, I don't want to play the game anymore. I'm just going to go become a kazoo player or something. I'll do something else. Because if God decides to start hating, I don't want to play the game. But God is love, and he only can love, and he only can forgive if we want the forgiveness. That's the way it is. If we don't want the forgiveness, we can't be forgiven, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's open. But the great thing is, you know, coming out, really coming out, people coming with this secret, you know, I had an abortion.
Yeah.
I had an abortion. And that must be a very difficult place to be at, because, you know, the condemnation that people receive in their heads.
It's very scary.
And even the church.
Yes, it's very scary, because you don't know who's going to condemn you. How many do we have in our churches who would condemn? What we need to, these women can't just suddenly one day say those words. They need somebody. They need to know that whoever it is they're saying it to is going to love them no matter what they say. And we need to recognize that and appeal to that, because that's the only way to get these women to open up and to talk about it and to heal their own heart. They need to talk about it, if only to each other, if only to a priest or a best friend or someone. They need to talk to somebody, because they need to know, as you said, God is a loving and forgiving God.
And you know, another thing is that the child with God now, and people say, you know, the child's not with God, they're in limbo. I'm just going to tell you, John Paul II said that with God.
Yeah.
And you know what? I believe that with God, too. You can fight with me about all you want, you know. I believe that with God, okay?
Absolutely.
But I'm going to tell you this. The child holds nothing against the mother.
No.
Nothing. And when you pass the Jordan River, that is the spiritual Jordan, you hold nothing against anybody. You don't have any ability, you know, if you're in the grace of God, and that child did absolutely nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So the child... You know, what I tell mothers that have aborted is, your child is waiting for you,
yeah.
and praying for you,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, never will that child condemn you.
Never.
Never, and never will God condemn you.
Absolutely.
And you see, but this is the thing that gets my goat, as my aunt used to say. This is what gets my goat. And, you know, today we're talking about abortion, and today's my birthday, okay? So I'm really glad my mother didn't even have the thought about abortion 62 years ago when I was born, you know. And that's not true anymore. That's not true anymore. And especially in the consumerism society that we live in, I'm not ready to have this child. Mm. And people think, you know, only unwed people have abortions. Wrong.
Mm-mm.
Wrong. Wrong. Anyway, I didn't know what I was saying. I just get off track anyway. But whatever I was saying, it was right.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Father. Women need to know that God does love them.
Yes.
He has an unending sea of mercy.
Yes, and, that's real.
You know, the minute you say, I'm wrong and I need you, Lord, and I love you, Lord, and forgive me, Lord, He will just immerse you in that sea of mercy.
That's right.
Cover you over with that mercy, and you are forgiven. And all that's left is for you to forgive you.
That's it. That's the big part.
And there's the big part.
There's the big part.
There's the healing. There's where it comes in. Once you know God loves you and God heals you, then you can start on that road to understanding that what you did, for whatever reasons, was a mistake, and you're sorry for it, you've been forgiven for it, and you need to forgive you for it.
And you go on.
And you go on. And you talk. And you tell people.
That's it.
I did this and it was wrong. Here's why I did it. Here's the mistake I made. Don't make my mistake. Go forward and tell others how it hurt you.
Silent no more.
Be silent no more.
Silent
tell
no more.
The world. This hurts women. It's not good for us. It doesn't help us. The poorest woman in the world is never helped by an abortion. Nobody is ever helped through an abortion.
No.
The only way to be helped is to give that child an opportunity, to give that child a chance to grow, to become a loved member of this world, a loved member of God's community, because that can help you.
You see,
abortion never will.
At an abortion, two people die.
That's right.
The baby dies, and part of the woman does.
Mm-hmm.
Until the woman is able, by the grace of God, to look at it.
Yeah.
With the Lord, with somebody else, and to face it.
And to face the fact that they are a mother, whether
that's
that child is alive
that's right.
or not.
That's
they
real.
Are still a mother.
That's real.
That's their baby.
That's real.
And it's real.
That's real. And you see, doctors have said, it's a procedure.
Mm-mm.
Well, I just want to tell you, try to do a procedure to a mother dog.
Yeah.
First of all, you'd be jailed.
Mm-hmm.
If you ever aborted per puppies, you'd be jailed.
Yeah.
That's the first thing you'd
be.
This is like God has placed this within us. Okay,
mm-hmm.
This is instinctive. This is something that I know. This is something that's within a woman. See, she knows. She knows.
Mm-hmm.
She knows.
Yes.
Because something's different. Something's different. Life has begun. Life has begun, and it's a beautiful, beautiful cycle. But you see, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, so
right.
this is not new stuff. This is the same old stuff. He comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and ultimately, then he wants to destroy the child, but also he wants to destroy the woman.
Absolutely.
And the men that we had someone a couple of weeks ago, a young man, Theo. Who wanted to have the baby, but his girlfriend said, no way.
Mm-hmm.
So he is silent no more.
Yes.
And he has opened a pro-life clinic, and he has saved so many children because he does counseling at Mills, and he is able to tell his story.
Yeah.
And now his story of agony now becomes a story of glory, that God uses the agony to bring glory to other children who would be aborted.
To bring hope to them.
That's it.
Yeah.
And you see, that's what the cross is about.
Yes.
That here's Jesus dying on a cross out of love for us, but his death is our life.
Mm-hmm.
His death is our reconciliation.
Yes.
His blood is our salvation. You see, it's the working of the cross.
Mm-hmm.
When people come to the fact that, you face it.
Yes.
You look at it, you face it, and you say, Lord, help me to receive this and to accept this.
Mm-hmm.
I did wrong, but you know what, Lord? I want to get on with my life.
Yes.
because that's your will. It is not your will that I be like a tire on the ice going round and round and round and round and round and making no headway. It is not the will of God. That's why silent no more.
Yes.
Silent no more.
We must be silent no more. We must pray and reach out to the communities to talk about what is going on and the real solutions, the real choices that are out there.
But you see, in the church, we have people with no backbone.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you, because, you know, the priest will say, but there might be people out there who had an abortion. How can we pray for this? No, Father, it has nothing to do with might. There are people out there that have had an abortion.
Absolutely.
And we pray for the sanctity of life.
Yes.
And we pray that women would face the issue who have had abortions so that they can heal.
That's it. You know, if our priests and our pastors and our religious are speaking out and talking to these women, speak out and tell them we need to pray for this, because these women need to know that somebody is praying for them. Somebody wants them to be whole again. Somebody wants them to be forgiven again. And if we sit and never say a word to them, then they feel only shame and guilt, and nobody's telling them it's okay. Come on out here into the light. What did Jesus say? We have to go out into the light to where Jesus is. We can't hide our light. We have to let it shine.
That's right.
So that those who are in pain and in need can see that light as a beacon of hope and walk to it.
Well, let me tell you something that happened several months ago. I went to do a conference, and there was this lady that was there, and she was totally out of her mind. Now, I'm not making fun of her. She was totally out of... She was not on the verge of a breakdown. She was in the middle of a breakdown, okay? Mm. She's in the middle of a breakdown. So the woman in charge of the conference says, I want you to talk to so-and-so. So so-and-so, we got in a corner in one of the rooms, and so-and-so was there. And she's crazy. Like, she's really... She can't put two eggs together to make an omelet. Honest. So I said, where did it all start? And she says, I have no idea. I said, okay, let me give you an idea. And I threw out an idea. Were you ever whatever? And she said, yes. And she went on. So I said to her, where did it all start? And she said, I have no idea. Listen to this. Now, then I said, I uncovered it again. You just told me that all these things happened, and this is where it started. Oh, a couple of minutes later, where did it all start? I have no idea. Honest, this is really happening. I'm saying, okay, now, I'm going to call Christy with your permission. And we need to call Christy and tell her the core of your problem. Is that all right with you? This was not confession. She said yes. So I said to Christy, this is what she's told me. This is where it all started. This is what you have to deal with in prayer for her. Prayer through this. I left. Conference was over. When I went back a month and a half later, she came up to me and I said, I know you. I said, are you the lady I was speaking to? Yes. I said, honey, you're 800 times better.
Yeah.
That's what I said, 800.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I am. She said, but you know, I still have a little couple of stuff. I said, listen, you might have a couple of stuff, but let me tell you, you're 800 times better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, why? Because she was it was so painful that she couldn't even look at it.
Right.
She couldn't even remember it.
Yeah.
After I told her about it, she couldn't remember it.
Right.
You know, so it was so, the secret was so, even after it was exposed, it was still a secret because she couldn't look at it. It was too big. But getting someone to pray someone through that,
it's
a miracle.
It makes all the difference.
It's a miracle.
Yes. It is.
It's a miracle. The woman, now the lady can put three eggs together and make an omelet. And she could even add to it. You know, I'm just so beautiful. You know, I was so surprised because I said, this lady is going to go enter into some kind of a hospitalization. She's gone.
Yeah.
But thank God I was able to pinpoint the problem.
Yep.
And tell another person with her permission so that the other person could pray it through.
Absolutely. Yeah, because that's what it takes. Prayer and understanding and, you know, sacrificing and education. That's what it takes to get through to this problem, to get through to those people hurt by it. Very often, I've talked to people and they say, you know, I've talked to so-and-so about, pro-life work, and they get so angry. And it's like probably because on some level they've been touched by abortion.
Let me just tell you this also. I have a friend, Joanne, whatever her last name, McDuffie, and she does a Bible study for women who have had an abortion. And you know what? I would like you to write to me or to call me at the rectory stating that you'd like to take a Bible study like that so you can go through this with someone who's excellent at this kind of ministry. It's not work, it's ministry.
Yes.
Silent No More, you don't have to be in this dump next year at the same time.
No.
You don't have to be there.
No.
Silent No More, you don't have to be, you don't have to live in torment. You don't have to live in guilt that wants to put you in a grave. You don't have to be suicidal.
Right.
Honest, God is God Almighty. And he's there for you.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about the 40 days of fasting and prayer, which we have just already entered into, about life.
Okay. 40 Days for Life began last Wednesday, and it is a campaign, that began in Texas in 2003. Just a group of pro-lifers got together and said, you know what, we're going to spend 40 days and we're going to pray and fast and hold a vigil outside an abortion clinic, and we're going to get people to pray and fast with us. If they can come stand at the clinic, that's fine. If they can't, they can still pray and fast. And then we're going to reach out to the community and educate them about abortion, about what's going on, and about the alternatives and where to turn for help instead of this clinic. And over the past several years, it has grown tremendously. And this year, a 40 Days for Life campaign is being held in a number of places in Massachusetts, specifically in Springfield, Worcester, Methuen, Boston, and Attleboro. And people are going and holding a vigil outside of the local abortion clinic or Planned Parenthood, whatever it may be. And they pray. And they just stand there quietly, peacefully, praying for the people going in and out and for the people who work there, because they also need God to touch them.
Most of them are both post-abortive.
And most of them are.
Of course, you can just tell by their poor faces.
Absolutely. And their anger. And
justifying their abortion.
Exactly. So you just go there and you peacefully, quietly hold a sign that asks people who see you to pray to end abortion. And you pray there. And sometimes we sing hymns there. And we're just there to show that we love these people, we care about these people, and we want to help these people. We don't want to hurt anybody. The other side of it, as I said, is community outreach, to go out to the community and tell them, you know, there are alternatives. There is another side to this story. Please, we don't get a lot of, you know, press on the other side of abortion. We hear about women's right to choose. We hear about, you know, how abortion is necessary in certain circumstances. And, you know, poor women need abortion because they can't afford children, and so forth and so on. God never gives you anything beyond what you can handle, first of all.
And, you know, say poor women need abortion. No, I say poor women need adoption.
That's right.
Not abortion.
No, abortion doesn't help anybody.
But this is the point, you know. I don't want to have my baby adopted because then I'll never know where they are.
Yeah.
Give me a break.
Yeah.
Like, at least they are.
Yeah.
At least they are.
Exactly.
At least they are.
Yes.
But, you know, just.
So, you know, that's part of what we go out there to say, is that there are alternatives. There are good ways to do this. That, you know, this isn't going to help you. In the end, it's going to hurt you. And as you said, you know, there are two injuries here. There are two deaths here. There is a baby that's now dead, and a part of that mother is now dead, too. And so we need to tell these, especially young girls, when you stand outside these clinics, you see these young girls going in and out. They have no idea what the future holds for them, what's going to happen. And that's what 40 Days is all about, because we need to get education out there. We need our young girls and our young men to know what abortion is and how it hurts everyone, everyone. Like you said, even the young men, even the fathers of these babies, it hurts them. They have, you know, reactions later, you know, against what they did. Their family members, their mothers and fathers, brothers and sisters. When you get older and you have children of your own, it can hurt your own children, because those children now know that they had brothers or sisters that you didn't bring into the world. And it will cause a distance between a parent and a child.
That's why it's important that you use the experience of brokenness to heal other people.
Yes,
that's
and
important.
That's what we want to do on 40 Days.
It's important. It's important. So these are 40 days of fasting and prayer.
Yes.
And everybody can participate in them?
Everybody can. You don't have to go out to the clinic, okay? All you have to do, first of all, there's a website, 40daysforlife.com, and it's 40daysforlife.com, all one word. And you can go on there and you can find out where your local chapter is, where your local campaign is. And you can contact them and say, I can't get out there. Well, for whatever reasons. I have young children. I can't get out there. I'm elderly and I have no car. I can't get out there. If you can't go out there, if for whatever reason, you can just tell them, I'm at home here and I'm praying every day for you. I'm going to pray every day from 9 to 10. Just for you and for all the people coming in and out of that clinic and for the people working in that clinic. And I'm going to do that and I'm going to fast.
Give us the web address again.
40daysforlife.com.
40daysforlife.com. 40daysforlife.com. 40daysforlife.com. All one word. 40daysforlife.com. Listen now. Listen, we all can do something. We all can do something this week. We all can pray. We can all pray and we can all fast, even if it's fasting from television. We can all do something, for the grace of God is very much available. Don't keep your secrets to yourself any longer. They kill you. God bless you.
God bless.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.